Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Reborn Identity.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Lord, I come into your presence with thanksgiving and praise. I bow before your throne with the worries of my day. For I know that you will hear me when I kneel.
Welcome back to the Reborn Identity. This is Grace, actually. You can call me Gracie, but I'm also known as Vivian Kelly because a lot of times people call us Gracie or Vivian. And Ruthie Munoz on Blog Talk Radio. Hi, Ruthie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, actually. I am so stoked. As a matter of fact, I had somebody ask me, you know, Ruthie calls you Gracie. Why are you Gracie if you're Vivian Kelly? And I was
one of our listeners.
I was like, Gracie. I'm like, well,
it's
you know,
because sometimes I forget.
And that's okay. And I love Gracie, and because since I was a kid, and you know, everybody used to call me Gracie, and so for those who are tuning in, yes, I go by Gracie or Vivian Kelly. It doesn't matter, whichever one is fine with me. But Ruthie,
yes,
was this not an awesome weekend for you? Because for me, it was.
It was an amazing weekend. It was one for the record books.
Pray tell. Do tell.
No, just amazing things. Okay, so we got the letter from Ole Miss, and my daughter received a partial scholarship. So we are just so blessed and just praising the Lord for his promises, for being a God who sticks to his promises. And that is just so amazing. And I'm just like sitting back and kind of seeing, you know, where this ride is going to take us. But that's just such a beautiful confirmation. I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I just thought, you know, I started that journey on a vision that he gave me, and it was a complete journey of faith and a complete journey of obedience, which sometimes, if you know me, is really hard to do. But God, you know, he blessed us, and we're very honored. So that's how my weekend started, and it just got better after that, you know. And today in church, it was, oh my goodness, it was so, so powerful. And our pastor, you know, it being Palm Sunday and everything, happy Palm Sunday, everyone. He was talking about Jesus' entrance as he was, you know, going into the last week of his life as he's entering the city. And knowing that by the end of the week that he's, you know, going to die. And just Jesus' humbleness in choosing a donkey to enter the city. And the magnitude of Jesus Christ being who he is, you know, the King of Kings. And yet he was humble enough to do that. And he was just talking about, you know, how the donkey knew what his place was. His place was to carry Jesus into the next step. And he turned it around and was saying that, you know, we should be like the donkey and carry Jesus, allow Jesus to use us as he used the donkey to carry him into the next step of our life. And it just made such an impact on me. It was just, I don't know, it's just an amazing weekend. I'm excited. So.
That's wonderful. And you know what? You said something that is amazingly beautiful, that the King of Kings could have chosen a beautiful stallion, could have chosen one of the better, you know, horses, and he chose the humblest of them all. And
yeah.
The scene, and you know, if you look at the scene in your mind, I hate to say mind's eye because that's a very, as you know, a very, well, it doesn't matter. But as you close your eyes and you vision this, everybody thought, he's going to do it now. He's going to do it now. He's going to save us now. Little do they know, he's going to save us for now, but for later. Not to take us, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted, you said save us, and one of the things that he said was that Hosanna, you know how we say Hosanna? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Hosanna means save us.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to.
They were singing Hosanna, you know, and so thank you for pointing that out, too. So as everybody was rejoicing and singing Hosanna, he knew that he was going to die. And at that point, I, you know, as a human being, for me, I was like, okay, you know what? You know what? It's over right here, right now. Father, destroy this and let's start all over again. I just, you know, and he knew, you know, that he was taking that via dolorosa, that
mm-hmm.
the way of pain, so that we can have that kind of people don't understand when you see them struggling, you know, in the streets, and they're you know, like the mother who took her life and the life of her three kids. She had no hope. But that's what God gives us. We have this hope. And Jesus died for that, so that we can have that hope to have eternal life with him when he comes to take us home. And it's just amazing, you know, that he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't. He really didn't have to do it, but he did. And when people, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to hear, the nails didn't keep him on the cross. It's like, yeah, it did. No. There was something more profound. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was his love for us, for me.
Absolutely. You know, I went to Israel last year. It'll be a year next month. And, I mean, it's a trip that I've been wanting to take my entire lifetime, and I finally was blessed enough to be able to go last year. And it was profound. I mean, this many years later, you know, to have been able to walk where Jesus walked and to have seen the skull. And I was actually reading it in the Bible yesterday. And, you know, when it was talking about that they were placing in the skull, they being Jesus and the two criminals that were placed, you know, one on either side of him, I was like, I could visualize it because I'd been there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
it was just, I don't know how to explain it, but, I mean, going there and going to the garden tomb where he was laid, and from, you know, you go in and there's this sign on the door that says, he is not here. He is risen. Oh, my goodness. It's just the hairs stand up on the back of your neck, and to just excuse me, just to imagine, you know, the amount of pain and humiliation and suffering that he took for us as a people, you know, despite the fact that people were saying Hosanna, which, like I told you, means save us. You know, and I don't know if they realized that it meant that, but they were still mocking him and, you know, leading him to his death. And he took all that pain, and he didn't complain, and he took all that pain so that we could be free. And yet here today, this many years later, some of us still reject them. You know,
yes.
And it's just, I don't know. It's mind blowing to me.
And I think what is so what I guess it brings me to my knees is the thought that, of course, among the crowds there had to be demons just enticing the crowd, but standing in front of Golgotha and just knowing that several thousands of years ago, he was on a cross. And then one thing I heard yesterday in one of the, as I was hearing some of the sermons, there is a certain belief system they call themselves Christians, and I really don't understand how they call themselves Christian when, you remember this, as you went to see the burial site where Jesus laid and the stone was rolled.
Yeah.
In their theory, in their theology, the rock actually, it moved on its own accord, and two men came and materialized and helped him, meaning Jesus, walk out of the tomb. And I'm like, to what level are people making things up? And I'm just so shocked. And it's like, Jesus didn't need help. Jesus says, I'm going to raise up on the third day. And he did. And for people to minimize.
Of course, he didn't need help. He's
right. Yeah, and
the son of God.
For people to minimize, I know, for people to minimize his resurrection, so they can have their own agenda. I'm like, no. Let me tell you, there is a God, there is the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're one. And he didn't need two men to carry him out of the grave. He resurrected for God's sake. He resurrected. A person that can resurrect themselves doesn't need any help to be carried out of the tomb. And I was like, to what degree? And so, yeah, they take his resurrection very lightly. And I pray for them. And when I hear people talking about his resurrection as it's magician. It's a tale. It's a myth. It kind of scares me that people would believe that. I went to Las Vegas. You know that, I told you.
Right.
And clearly on this big, beautiful billboard right on the main strip, they had God is a myth. I was like, you would have that in Las Vegas. Because some of the places you may not get away with that, but God is a myth. And try to explain why God is a myth, because their own experiences. And you know what? What is this, the verse that keeps on coming up? Do not lean on your own understanding. And we tried to lean on our own understanding and place Jesus in a box, and he couldn't have risen, and he couldn't have done this, and he couldn't have done that. And he can't feel our pain, but so much contrary to that, he can feel our pain each and every day. When I know that I'm hurting so much, and I've told you some of my deepest secrets, I'm fearful, because it's like, oh no, Lord, I need to, even if it's just a thread of your garment, I need to hold on to it. And something that was really cute yesterday, I read, if God seems like he's so far away, think of who moved. Because he doesn't move, he's always there. We're the ones that keep on running away from the time of Adam and Eve to today. We keep on moving away. So you had a wonderful experience in church today, and I'm so glad that you shared it with us, because if some people might not even have gone to church today, and they are able to at least live vicariously through you and through us. So thank you so much.
Well, we got them covered. You went yesterday, I went today, so, you know.
Thank goodness, right? Well, you know what? We don't have any. I have a couple of prayer requests. And Ruthie, do you have any prayer requests that you might want to mention?
Well, I'll be going for surgery. Not this week, but next week. And so if you guys could keep me and my family in prayer. And if you could continue praying for my friend, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it that I have for today.
Okay, no problem. I'll go ahead and put that. I'm going to also mention that Diane, she's a coordinator for a certain event in, I believe, Tennessee or Mississippi. Actually, Tennessee. And Nashville, to be exact. And she's requesting for us to pray as she continues doing God's will and getting the right people for this event. And translator, they need a Spanish translator still. So that is one thing. And for me, I went to the open house at the university that I am so stoked about going. And it's funny because we're all graduating, we're all going to the university. Isn't that amazing? But it shows better late than never. And I fell in love with it. my husband went with me, and, you know, of course, he's very observant and he's very analytical. And he's like, this is it. This is for you. And so I went to, at the end of the program, I went and I asked, so what's the next process? I already submitted all the information and everything. She goes, well, if they choose you. And I'm like, I'm cognitive. You just said if. I'm cognitive. You said if. But I'm thinking in my mind, but God knows what he's doing. So I'm like, okay, so if you do get chosen, selected, then your interview will be on the 29th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So I haven't received the letter as of yet. I'm still, I know that God has something for me. If it's not there, it's somewhere else. But I know he has something for me. So I'm counting on that. And praying for my husband who's abroad. He's traveling. And for traveling mercies, my grandmother's doing well. In fact, testimony
praise
here,
the Lord.
There's a praise report here. The nurse came to see her bed sore. She's been in bed for about a year and 4 months. And, of course, with that comes bed sores and everything. And so the nurse says, can you help me? I pulled my grandmother on the side so they can, you know, so she can put a new dressing in the bed sore. And we've been praying about that. And the lady looked and she goes, the nurse looked and she goes, where's her bed sore? I go, it's there. She goes, the big one. I go, it's there. She goes, there's no trace of a bed sore. And I go, well, that's grandma. She hides them. And so I was like, thank you, Lord, because she was like, I don't know how I'm going to explain this, because nurses specifically, when you do have a break in the skin and it's, you know, like a bed sore or canker sore or whatever the case may be, they have to really put, you know, be vigilant on that, because it could turn out to be a very ugly situation. And she couldn't find it. She says, I don't know how I'm going to explain this to my, you know, when we go to the group, that she no longer has a bed sore. So I was like, okay, praise the Lord with that. And so that's that. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. And if, of course, if anyone has ever a prayer request that they want to send over to us, well, please be so kind as to send it to myself, Vivionne, V-I-V-I-O-N-N-E, at thereborn identity.com, or Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y, at thereborn identity.com. And it's confidential. We will go ahead and just pray. You can let us know exactly. Or if you know of a woman who is in, amazing, and she's doing wonderful things for the Lord, and she truly is a servant of God, and you think she should be on our show, give us a jingle or send us an email and we will look into that. We have several authors and coming up soon, and some evangelists. So we're excited. God is opening up some doors for us. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for giving us another day of life and giving us that opportunity to not only receive your light, but to also shed your light to others who are aimlessly looking for who you are, or what
Amen.
They can find in life. And Lord, that's what we are. The Reborn Identity is like, we're not perfect, but we know that you are leading our footsteps. Lord, I place before you to the throne, or the foot of the throne, some prayer requests. Lord, please forgive me of anything I have done that these prayers may not be hindered. Lord, Ruthie is our own personal. Ruthie is going to go into surgery soon. Please protect her. Also, give discernment and wisdom to the doctors that are performing the surgery, and take care of her family, please. Also, Derek, Lord, we know that you have him in your hands. Take care of him, and that he may be able to continue to see you through Lucy, because, you know, we are to shine to others. Lord, please take care of my husband as he travels abroad. Go before him, Lord, and bless him and everything, and that he may know you are God and you are taking care of everything. And thank you, Lord, for taking care of my grandmother. We're all going to school at the present time, or we have gone through school and we're trying to get into another school. So, Lord, show us, give us the wisdom, but also understanding that whatever happens, it's because you are in control. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. All these things, Lord. Please take care of our listeners, whoever is listening to us, that they may be blessed with the show and that they are, their hearts and their minds will be open. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Oh, okay. So tonight we have Scott Mayer, and tonight's segment is called A Hijacked Mind and the Mind-Blowing Ransom. And he's going to tell us why our minds are being hijacked and what is the ransom, who paid it, and why do we have to remember that he paid it, whoever that he is. But I'm pretty sure we know who it is. He's going to be telling us a little bit about his testimony, but also who and what he does and his mission. And Ruthie, I guess we have some books, right?
We sure do, and the lines will be opening up. So the second caller tonight will receive Deborah Pagay's book, Taming Your Stress. So call now at 818-572-8027.
Okay, and that once again, that's 818-572-8027. Let me go and introduce a little bit more of Scott Mayer. But let me tell you what happened. My father went to church, and he heard this incredible testimony. And, you know, my background. So when he was telling me, I kind of like said, I've heard of him somewhere, but I'm not sure where and how. So immediately I got, you know, I somehow we connected while Dad was still in church, and he gave me his information, and I called him up. And it's been hard to get in contact with him because, of course, he's always traveling and he's really working in the ministry. But I'm not sure. Have you ever heard of Battlefield Hollywood?
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Battlefield Hollywood?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, it's interesting how you'll hear more of his testimony, but he explores and he allows us to see, not because he says it, but he shows us what's going on in Hollywood, and we kind of know already from my own experience what's going on in Hollywood. But he also is Scotty Mayer is part of the Little Light Studios. Little Light Studios was established with the desire to be a creative and effective part in spreading the gospel. We have seen that through technology, the message of truth for this time could spread further and faster than any other time in Earth's history. Because remember, before it was with pigeons and chariots and running. So that was the way that used to be. Now technology has brought us to like a different level. We also saw that there was a large gap of young people who are uninvolved or unreached in this process. With a desire to create a paradigm shift, Little Light Studio has embarked on a journey to create a production studio facility that will be a place where young people are the brains and the workforce, a place for us to keep within the biblical boundaries of Christian standards. Little Light Studios desires to create a grassroots movement that disengages from the tradition of today's media work, which is not currently reaching or involving the younger generations. They firmly believe that if they pull these goals and ideas together, that they can fulfill the Great Commission that was given to Christians, proclaiming the gospel to a dying world. At the Little Light Studios, it is their earnest desire to live out the commission. Let your light so shine before men that they may glorify your Father. We pray, and they, you know, we're praying for them, and they pray that the, every project that Little Light Studios contributes to will fulfill this mission. And so, you know, once you start realizing that we can use the media, and we've already known that, because didn't we bring David Massey? He's using his artistic background and his director and production background to literally reach out to these individuals. So Little Light Media, Little Light Studios is also doing the same thing in another capacity. And I think it's wonderful, because if you look at all these movies that are coming out, are they really glorifying God? And what are they showing? As a matter of fact, I belong to the Parents organization, which is a PTC, and it's Parents Television Council. And they were showing some things that MTV is showing for our youth. And it's about, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't know. I had no idea what it entailed, and I was pretty shocked. So before we bring Mr. Mayor online, I was thinking of, Ruthie, what about a song, a really nice song? I know that we have Lisa Pierre's Resurrection. I think that's a nice song.
Oh, that's an amazing song. I think that would be very appropriate.
That would be very appropriate. Well, anyway, everyone who's tuning in, we're going to be playing Lisa Pierre's Resurrection song. Please enjoy, and we'll be right back. Resurrection. I am.
Hallelujah.
I am. And you know why? And for those who keep saying that there's no God, just look outside and look at the mountains and look at the trees. And it was just, you know, it's like my husband, he's just like, you know, God is good. Let me just put it that way. God is good. And we need to be resurrected. When Satan gets a hold of us, gets a hold of our mind, and we walk away, we basically die, like a flower wilting from the soil. And God just, he just takes us, when we come to him, First John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is just, and he, you know, and he will cleanse us, and who's ever out there struggling with any issues of occult, issues with anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Jesus can resurrect you. That's it.
Amen.
You know, and so we were talking about bringing on Scott Mayer. I would like to welcome Scott Mayer to our show. Scott, are you there?
Hey, I am. It's an honor to be on the show. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Good evening,
so much,
Scott.
Good evening.
Is it what?
Ruthie said good evening.
Oh, good evening.
I said hi, Scott.
It is a beautiful day. Sorry, I'm up here in Paradise, California, and it has just been an amazing weekend. And there is definitely a God.
Wow,
I've never been to paradise, but is it amazing? Is it as amazing as the name?
It truly is. This is actually a little town that I grew up in, up here in Northern California, and it just is that perfect weather. It gets four perfect seasons. You have nice warm summers. You have great winters. Sometimes snows. I mean, it really is a neat and unique place. And this last weekend, I mean, it was 75 degrees, perfect blue skies with the big fluffy clouds. It's truly amazing.
Well, I'm in the wrong location here in the smoggy of area of Los Angeles, where it's like, what is that orange brownish thing hovering over the mountains? They go, is that smog?
Right.
And I'm breathing that. It's like,
right.
We all are. Great, you can, but I don't want to. So I'm glad that you're enjoying paradise. Ruthie, you and I might have to go out to paradise and check it out.
I'm trying to tell you, I need a little paradise in my life right about now.
Most definitely. Not too bad of a town to be actually come from. It's really funny because, you know, when I tell people, hey, I live in this little town called Paradise, they think I'm joking, and they go, no, really, where do you live? And I say, no, it's really called Paradise. But it was an old gambling town way back in the Gold Rush days, and it was called Pair of Dice. And over the course of many years, it assumed the name Paradise.
How funny is that?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Wow. So, Scott, tell us about your ministry. Tell us what inspired you, and give us a little bit about your testimony. I checked out some videos that are on YouTube. Vimeo, I think it's Vimeo or Vimeo or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, and it was really interesting. And of course, you know how we got to get to talk with each other. Dad was just like, you need to bring him on. You need to bring him on. Okay, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the things. So tell me, where did it begin?
Well, all glory be to God, because He's the only one that deserves all the glory for anything that has transpired in my adult life. Because to kind of start back from the very beginning, I grew up in this little town of Paradise. I was raised in a very conservative Christian home, a Seventh-day Adventist home. I read my Bible as a young kid, was very interactive and involved in church life, and went to a private school growing up, and just really, had a typical Christian upbringing. And my parents were actually big advocators of no television, no rock and roll, that kind of stuff. And of course, as irony has it, I ended up in Los Angeles making that stuff for a living. But my brother and I, we were very interested in this movie-making process at an early age. My dad had an 8mm film camera, and he used to buy us a lot of film, and we would get all of our little neighborhood kids together, and we'd make little tree fort stories, and we would write little scripts and make these little films, getting my dad to shoot them all. And so it kind of started out at a very early age. I was maybe 3, 4, 5 when we were starting to play around with the cameras. And then it was kind of just a hobby of ours until we got to high school and we started making productions with video cameras. And then by the time I got to college, I took some of the film studies classes that were offered. And I went to a little liberal arts college in the Napa Valley. And there was some pretty well-known celebrity contacts that were helping the school out teach this little film degree, and they brought us on George Lucas Studios, and we got to watch a couple of major films being made in college, and that just whet my appetite for, wanting to do this for a living. So I ended up in Los Angeles shortly after college, and the college that I went to was a Christian college, and I was still very active and involved in Christianity. And when I went down to Los Angeles, I just kind of started really getting involved with the wrong people, and just lost my way, stopped reading my Bible, stopped interacting with any of my friends or family, and even stopped interacting with my brother, who also took the film degree in college. And I mean, we were best friends growing up, and I just immersed myself in the whole Hollywood scene, wanting to be an actor, wanting to be in front of the camera and the whole nine yards. Got really caught up in the whole party lifestyle and basically abandoned my faith altogether. My brother moved down shortly after college to Los Angeles also, and he lived about 10 miles away from me. He lived in Venice Beach, and I lived in Hollywood, and he got a job working in television as a cameraman right off the bat, and I pretty much never saw him. Maybe saw him once, maybe twice a year. We rarely talked to each other, and we just lived very separate lives. And it wasn't until about 10 years into our whole experience out there in Los Angeles God finally started really working on my brothers and my heart, and we were asked to come back to our old high school for our 10-year high school reunion, my brother's 10-year high school reunion. And when he actually called me up and told me he was going back to this little Adventist Academy up in Northern California in this little town called Paradise, he asked me if I wanted to come. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to be around those Christians and this and that. I know what that world's all about, and that's not for me. And he begged me and begged me to come. So I finally reluctantly agreed to come up. And when we came up, it's a very small town up here, and all of my friends' families still lived up here. The parents of the classmates of mine, all the church family was still very, very much so in this same area. And when we showed up to the school, everybody, you know, obviously knew us, and they knew we'd gone down to Hollywood. They'd heard of some of these things that we'd worked on, and all they wanted to do was talk about what movies we'd been in or what movies we'd worked on. Who have we met? Have you met Brad Pitt? Have you met Britney Spears?
Yeah.
We were just bombarded with Hollywood questions all weekend long. And there was this one kid that was kind of witnessing this happening. He was a couple grades below me. And he watched a bunch of these people kind of crowding around us. And when they all cleared, he came up to us and he said, don't mind what these guys are saying to you. He said, I have one serious question for you guys. And he said, how's your relationship with Christ? And my brother and I were really taken back by that. I mean, here was a kid. He was a big troublemaker growing up. He was one of the kids that was always kicked out of class first and, you know, big partier, first one to drink, first one to get involved in drugs. And his life was pretty much a train wreck. And here he was in his right mind asking us how our relationship with Christ was. And I was intrigued by that. So he invited us over to his house that afternoon. And I can remember just, you know, listening to him like, wow, how did God get a hold of you, like change this kid? And he proceeded to tell us all about his life and what God had done for him. And then it's what sparked just, I mean, the first, like, you know, wow, like that's amazing how God can totally transform someone's life. So he asked us if he wanted to pray with him that night, and it had been a while since I'd prayed or my brother had prayed, and we reluctantly said, oh, yeah, sure, you know, what can it hurt, right? And as we got together and ended up starting to pray, he had a little cabin, and it was just the three of us in the cabin and my brother's boxer dog. And when we huddled together for prayer, the dog just went crazy. I mean, it was just barking in the air, his hair on the back of his neck like he was going to attack something. And it was very weird because he normally was never like that. He was like the sweetest dog ever. And so we said, man, what's wrong with this dog? Why is he freaking out? And we calmed him down, and we gathered back together to pray. And as we started to pray, there was a nutcracker that was sitting on the table, and its hat came off of the nutcracker, flew in the air, and smashed on the wall right next to us. And it literally freaked me out. Freaked me out. I said, stop praying, stop everything that you're doing. I know exactly what this is. I've read my Bible since I was a kid. I'm very well aware of this war between God and Satan. There is something else in this room. Stop. And from that moment on, I went back down to Los Angeles, and I could not get it out of my head. And my brother and I started dialoguing about it, and we started talking about it, and we just said, man, what does this mean? Here were these Christian kids growing up in this little town of Paradise, of all places, in the center of Hollywood, totally messed up, partying like crazy. What are we doing? What are we doing with our life that God gave us, except for wasting in our own selfish desires? And so God continued to just place one person after another, and we finally just said, Lord, you know, what is it that you want us to do? I mean, you know, we're heavily involved in television and making these things, and if you ever ask God that question, what do you want me to do for you?
Yes.
Be prepared for your plate to be completely filled, overflowing. Be prepared to handle that. And so all of a sudden, my phone rang. And it was my old Adventist Academy up in Northern California, and they said, we're having a youth rally that's coming up here pretty soon. We're having a hard time getting kids to come to these youth rallies when they all know you guys went down to Hollywood and all kids love movies, so why don't you guys come and show a movie and talk about God? And so we said, well, let us think about that, because, you know, I mean, most kids aren't going to watch a two-hour movie and then want to listen to a sermon after that.
So we said, exactly.
We said, why don't we think about this for a while? And I called up my brother, and I called up my really close friend that went to film school with us, who was also from Paradise. And I said, I have this really unique project. What if we look into where did movies come from? Where does television come from? What's the actual effect as you're sitting there staring at this blinking light? What's going on inside your brain? And when we started sitting down and doing the research, I mean, there's thousands of books written on this subject. And I had no idea. I'd worked in Hollywood for 10 years and never even heard of any of this stuff. And when we started realizing how much it was actually affecting you and affecting your frontal lobe, we were blown away. And then we started analyzing the advertising industry because they use hypnosis and psychology to sell you their products. So we said, okay, well, this gets around. Most people say, oh, it's just entertainment. It doesn't affect you. You can watch whatever you want. Doesn't affect you. Well, if you just look at the advertising industry, we know that it affects you. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars trying to affect you. And mm-hmm. if it didn't work, they wouldn't spend the money. And so we found all kinds of examples of you know, how they use hypnosis and colors and all sorts of other things and very documented scientific evidence of it actually affecting you. So then we came to the conclusion, well, if man is doing this for money and there really is a war between God and Satan, what's Satan doing with the same information in the movies? So we started picking apart the Superman, the Batman, the V for Vendetta, the Matrix, all the super popular movies that were out, and lo and behold, when we started holding up our Bible to some of these movies that we were watching, we started realizing they're directly attacking Christ or directly attacking biblical truths or twisting the gospel or, you know, all kinds of things. So we've picked out all these video examples, put it all together in a presentation, and then wrapped it up with what does the Bible say about each one of these things. And we never intended to give this presentation twice. It was just a one-time thing. And I still worked in television at the time, and we started getting phone calls from across the nation. Hey, we heard about this presentation. Would you guys come and give it to our school or university or church? And so we just agreed just off of word of mouth. And then we spoke at a big camp meeting in Southern California, Central California, and they were broadcasting it around the world. And so we started getting phone calls from Taiwan and from Australia and from England and all these other countries, and we started going around the world and presenting this information. And so since then, we've left our jobs in television, and while we would go around and we'd present, other ministries would say, hey, you know, if you guys know how to make this stuff, could you help us with our ministry? You know, we don't have any video capabilities or anything, so we actually opened up a production company, and we actually produce videos for other ministries and various works and help them out. So it's been an amazing road, and God has taken what you know was a passion of ours, making films and making movies and you know and those kind of things, and really given us the ability to utilize those skills that we're so passionate about and we also like, but using it now to aim people at Christ, aim people at God rather than aim
Amen.
People at men.
Amen.
Scott, so working in Hollywood, and you know I've worked in Hollywood on another area, which is makeup and special effects and casting, but Scott, is it true that our minds are being hijacked? I mean, can that be used? Can that term be used?
Most definitely. In fact, just to give you an example of how your mind works, speaking of this spiritual warfare, I believe this is definitely a tactic that the devil is now using because, you know, the way that your mind works is like sort of like a computer processor, okay? When you mm-hmm. sit down and watch television, or you sit down and stare at these like very fast, rapid cutting images, it's a lot mm-hmm. of information for your brain to process at one point in time. So you're flowing a massive amount of energy into your brain, and what's happening is you have to make sense of all of these different shots, all of these different people, all of these different storylines, and life doesn't happen at that rapid rate. So your brain is like really, really working. And what they found out that if you sit down within 20 seconds, Most people, you know, when you think and talk with somebody and you're interacting with them, you actually think on your left side of your brain, which is your critical, analytical, and logical side of your brain. That's what compartmentalizes information, and, you know, it's what tells you, you know, I agree with this, I don't agree with this, and you think about almost everything that is coming into your brain. They found out a phenomenon of television is it takes only 20 seconds for your brain, because there's so much information, to flip from the left side of your brain into the right side of your brain. And you pretty much watch television solely off the right side of your brain, which is your emotional, artistic, and dreamy side. And the problem with that is you don't logically think about the information that's coming into your brain at the time because there's too much. So what happens is your brain flips to the right side and it literally imprints everything that it sees but doesn't think about it. Now, that's one phenomenon that happens. Another phenomenon is your moral decision-making process happens in your frontal lobe. It's also where you speak to God, and when you pray to God, you're praying and speaking to God. And when you hear about somebody saying God dwelling in you, he dwells in your frontal lobe. He dwells in your mind, and that's where you interact with God. And here's what's a very scary and dangerous thing that's happening right now in television. 3D technology is coming out in such a fast rate. It seems like everything is in 3D now. They have Justin Bieber in 3D, you know, I mean, it's like everything you can imagine has some 3D video now, and it's where television is actually headed, and I'm sure it's probably going to go into, you know, crazier technology than that, but 3D is kind of the new craze. Well, there's a couple doctors from the Children's Hospital in Boston that have been studying what is going on inside your brain as you're sitting there staring at this 3D image. Well, now what you've done is you've taken these fast, rapid, changing pictures and images and things that are flooding into your mind at a fast rate, and you've now added a multi-layered dimensional spatial relation of the three-dimensional image. Because what happens, how you make something 3D, is you take the image and you slightly set two images apart. And your mind now has to make sense of what it's seen and piece back together this 3D image, which is terribly taxing on your brain. So what is the cause that it's happening is they literally say it's like taking a key and turning off your frontal lobe, completely off. And so when you watch a 3D movie, your brain now reacts 100% off of your limbic system, which is your emotional bank and everything that's in the back of your mind, and you are absolutely not morally or cognitively thinking about anything that's going in your brain. So imagine that. Imagine now the devil's created a device that puts you in a dark room, you stare at this blinking light, you're in your optimum amount of suggestibility with your mind, and they turn off your frontal lobe, which is where you speak to God. And they can tell you whatever they want to tell you, and you will soak it up 150,000,000%. So
yes. And you know what? I just to interject and say that in psychology, we study that. And believe it or not, because we need, for example, as you said, the subliminal messages used to be so overt. Now they're so blatant. I mean, there's no even subliminal messages. There's still some that, you know, you kind of go, that just doesn't make sense, especially in Disney movies and everything like that. But when you're sitting there, you are literally opening up. It's channeling. Well, for occult members, former like myself, you're channeling. You're allowing it to come in. You're allowing whatever you're seeing to come into your mind. So you're shutting that off, you know. And the thing about it is that it was really fascinating what happened to me. I went to sleep watching an I Love Lucy show in the late night, and I fell asleep. And something kept on saying, turn open your eyes and look at what your mind is getting. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, I'm sleeping. When I opened my eyes, it was something about vampires, and it was a very gory scene. And I said, oh my goodness, can our mind, our brain, continue picking up things even in our sleep? So I made it a habit while I don't watch television, but I made it a habit now that I don't sleep in front of the television. I just don't, because your brain is so highly sensitive, yet it just keeps on going even while we're sleeping. And I tell people, be careful what you put your children to see.
Your auditory system actually never shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
So your ears pick it up, even though your mind is in a different state and you're sleeping and you know, you're not consciously thinking about it. There's actually no off switch. So
you know what's so funny about that? That we were just talking about that this week. I don't know if you remember, Grace, that I was telling you that I had been unconscious a few years back, but I could hear everything around me. And but I couldn't communicate with them. And I remember that the doctor, one of the doctors, leaned down and whispered in my ear and kind of walked me through the process of what was going on and what they were going to do. And it was just, I think there was probably about 12 doctors around me, because I was in critical that day. But there was only one that leaned down, and he knew, and I could hear everything that was going on around me, even though I wasn't in a, you know, in a state to communicate. And I was telling Grace that I believe that, you know, my mom, she was a nurse, and she rest in peace, and she always used to tell me that the ear is always the last thing to go. Even, you know, when a person passes, their ear stays operational for, I don't know what the period of time is, but it doesn't stop working. You know, so the ear is, I don't know. I mean, God created us, you know, with this amazing body, and each part is so.
Well, it's very fitting that, you know, in this day and age, the technology that's increasing is literally, like you said, hijacking your mind. And to a lot of people, you know, they Hollywood's done a really great job at giving people this sense that it's all fake, it's all make-believe, it doesn't really affect you, you know. They're not real stories anyway. But what we don't realize is, by beholding, we do become changed. And, you know, it's been proven time and time again. I mean, you know, Adolf Hitler used propaganda in cinema to change the mindset of an entire nation. We know that you can change a mindset based on what movies the populations are watching. And if you look at, if you go to IMDb, you just type in, you know, highest grossing films, look at the first top 10 highest grossing films. It's literally Harry Potter, Twilight, you know, Avatar, all, you know, occult themed movies, and, you know, minus maybe one or two, but that's what the world is being indoctrinated with, you know, and that seems to be what the most popular things that people like to watch is, you know, things that are very supernatural or spiritual in nature. And if we're getting, you know, to the end of this whole, you know, Earth as we know it, then, you know, I just see it going hand in hand. The devil's, you know, he's definitely stepping up his efforts to, you know, get people on his page. And this is a great way to do it, through entertainment, and people don't even think they're being, you know, influenced by it.
And something you said about Hitler, he started conditioning people years.
Oh, yeah.
Several years prior to the Holocaust.
Yes, he did.
And what's so amazing is that, you know what, in psychology, of course, I keep throwing psychology as well. Some of these people, at there's a point and level where they confuse reality with their dream state. Hence, you look at the stalkers, Mary Ray, David Letterman stalker. You have several other stalkers because they see these images. Robert John Bardo, he was Rebecca Schaefer's murderer. She was my sister Sam. She didn't know it was coming. He was, because he had this infatuation. His mind became that this is his. And so for a person who's predisposed or has a higher propensity to live in that dream state, which makes them not be in the real world, can do some really damaging things. Scott, before I got into witchcraft, I already knew a lot of the incantations. Ask me how.
I
was watching them already in cartoons.
Yep, I'm sure you did.
I was watching them at I Dream of Jeannie, Witched, all these things. Samantha, the Teenage Witch. And by the time I got into the occult, I already knew, so that was nothing to me. It was nothing really...
Shocking.
I didn't understand. It wasn't shocking to me because it was like, okay, this is the occult. And I didn't call it the occult. This is the new age mentality. And I look at the people, the kids that I raised or that were around me when they were kids and how we used to put them to watch Disney movies. One that scares me the most is Fantasia. Fantasia scares me the most.
Oh, yeah.
Because as you see towards the end, your brain is going through that process and it's trying so hard to kind of, you're trying to do so much with your brain. And I realize that if your mind is in Christ, really seriously, do I need to watch that?
Right.
How is
right.
it glorifying? Well, how is it making my life even better?
And you have to ask yourself the question, is it possible for Christ to sin? So if Christ is living in you, is it possible to be watching and doing those things and have him still in you? You know, I mean, it's a very valid question of like, what does it mean to have Christ, fully in our lives and to have the mind of Christ, just like Paul talks about. And, it's very... shaky ground when you fill your mind with things that are not of God, that do not promote Christ-like characteristics, And I'm not saying all movies and all television do that. I think there are some things out there that are, wholesome or uplifting, but they're very few and far in between. And most people can agree with, have you ever seen a movie that you 100% agree with? There's always one or two or three things, and you get used to
every now and
passing
and
over
then.
Those. Yeah, you get used to passing over those and going, "Oh, that's okay. That's I can agree with 90% of that, but 10% of that, I just don't agree with." And we get used to putting ourselves in front of things that you disagree with, and you kind of just overlook them.
And that just currently, actually, that happened to me a couple of months ago. I don't usually go to movies, but my dad says, "Oh, this movie. It's called, Beautiful. Let's go and see." I go, "What's so bad about Beautiful?" I didn't read anything on it. But it's Spanish, so I said, "Okay, let's go, Dad." And so we went to see it, and just Dad and I. I think that's the first time we've been to the movie since. I went to Rockefeller Center with him, and I was only 6 years old. So he was like, father and daughter bonding. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, "Dad, can we get, it's like," and when the scene came up, several scenes came up, and then we found out it was about the occult. For those who are watching, it's about a man who sees when a person is going to leave their, go to the next, the next phase of death. Something that I used to do as a medium. And I'm going, "Ooh, this is not good, Dad. This is not good." And we looked at each other and it's like, "Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it'll get better." I wish I would have gotten up the minute that they showed Indecent Exposure with two men in a restroom scene. And I was like, "Why didn't I do it?" Because at that point, I couldn't sleep for several weeks. And it's like the Lord's like, "You know what? You shouldn't do that." First and foremost, the name, it was Beautiful. So to us, it thought, but what was beautiful was in this movie was that a man can see the passing of others and help them cross to the other side. And I'm going, Oh, okay. That's not beautiful. That's pure witchcraft. That's spiritualism.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And the girl that was the girl that before I went in, I told her, "Is this movie okay?" And she goes, "Oh yes, it's one of my favorite movies."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Okay, so it's good." She goes, "Oh, it's wonderful. It's touching." I was like, "Yeah, it touched me. I had no sleep." And my father was so. We were both going, "What?" And I go, "Well, that's the end of movies. That's the end. I'm not going to be seeing anything. I have to read what it has if I'm going to go with you to watch something." And I thought I was treating him to something beautiful. In fact, I wasn't. I was treating him to something that was blatantly occult. And but it's acceptable. And if you don't belong to the occult, or you don't belong to something rather similar, then you're not in the in crowd. And I realized that even children within different Christian organizations, as I do speak to different, you know, it doesn't matter where they call me to speak, I go and speak. There are children, teenagers, dealing with witchcraft in churches. Christian children.
Oh, yeah.
Christian
mm-hmm.
children. How did they get there?
Mm-hmm.
How did they get there? You know,
a lot of it starts with the innocent, you know, watching of the Harry Potter movies, and you know that whets the appetite for those kids. And if you actually go to Barnes and Noble and you look at where the Harry Potter books are, they're right next to straight occult books about real
right.
witchcraft. And so it's like, you know, the one is, even though it's a fake story, is leading you into that lifestyle.
And Scott, the incantations there were real. I know those incantations.
Yeah.
I mean, when I heard them,
yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is real. This is real. And this is way back when the first one came out. I guess that's about 5 years, 6 years ago. But when it first came out, and that was before I came to the Lord, then I'm like, these are real incantations. Oh, you're just making these things.
Wow.
No, they're real incantations. That's
wow.
not a lie. But,
now,
you
what
know,
is that doing to the audience? Mm-hmm. What is that doing to the audience that's hearing those? Do you know? Do they talk about that in witchcraft?
No.
No, absolutely
not.
No,
not out loud, but we know what it does, and we know why they do it, because when I was, you know, I was at one point a millionaire, and I wanted to bring out a product line, and I wanted to put, I was dedicating to the demons, and I was going to put a label that only the name of a certain demon that was going to, you know, promote it. Kind of, you know, I don't know if people understand what I'm saying, but in order
right.
for my product to become very successful, I needed to make a sacrifice. In my
right.
case, I didn't have to sacrifice a person, but I had to go through certain steps so that my product would be the best.
Wow.
God, it didn't happen, because, of course, God started moving very quickly into my life. But
wow.
but we know that if you want your product, or you want to be successful, or you want to be, you know, known, you are going to have to sacrifice something. And what I tell people today is that we have traded off the altars for the coffee table. And we have
yeah.
traded off the dagger for the remote control. And we're sacrificing
right.
our children's minds. So
right.
Right. it's amazing. But
that's actually
a
very good analogy.
mm-hmm.
You know, it is an altar. It is an altar in everyone's home.
Mm-hmm.
Most
and
people,
I don't know if
you
remember
know,
that story. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Most people, you know, if you've ever been around shrines or things that people, you know, have in their homes that they're dedicating, like little worship corners of their home. And then you look at a lot of the way people's, you know, living rooms are set up. I mean, their television is, in a sense, a shrine to them, you know?
Right. Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, television, you know, I love television, but it's very captivating. And if you're an impressionable person, I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
I think that's where you open yourself up to a lot of things. But I think that also as parents, you know, we fail our children in not sitting down with them and talking about the relevant issues that are going around. So what ends up happening is that, you know, a child will watch a show or a movie or read a book. And, you know, when you do these things, especially, you know, whether it's television and it's a visual or you're reading it, you kind of become a part of the story. You soak it up.
Right.
Whether you're a child or an adult, you know, but I think that some, you know, most rational people know that at the end of that story, you know, you kind of walk away and you go back to your regular life. Now, for a child, that's a different story depending at, you know, where they're at. And if a parent doesn't take the time to sit with them and kind of break it down and explain to them, hey, you know, you're reading this, but this is not reality, or, you know, you shouldn't be doing this because this is, this could be, you know, have dangerous consequences or what have you, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to their peers.
So,
you know, I think that that's another one of the big problems that we have today in society, that, you know, we because a lot of society now has become a two-income family, and there's the rise in single, you know, single-parent households as well, the TV has become the babysitter, you know. And a family, and I'm not sure how old you are, Scott, but family life is not like when, you know, we grew up in the 60s and the 70s where you actually sat down and you know, the TV wasn't the center, but it is, and it's, and it's very dangerous, you know. I don't know. I've been thinking
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
There's an increasing amount of, I think, detached relationships that are happening in our society today. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I think there's a lot of like positive things that happen out of this Facebook and, you know, a lot of these social networks that you know are really popular ways to converse with each other, but they're really impersonal. And like you said, I think even in our homes, we've now taken away the family time and the time that we would interact, and our family, our idea of family time now is sitting in front of a movie, not paying attention to each other or, you know, getting to know each other better. It's a lot of time spent in watching other people's lives that we don't ever know or will never know. And so, you know, where I don't think, you know, I'm not saying Facebook or any of those things are evil, but it's just sad because, you know, I think the human life was meant to be the social being. And if you just look at the Ten Commandments, the first, you know, four commandments are all about your relationship with God. The other six are all about your relationship with man. This entire thing is about a relationship. And I think we're approaching that day and age where our relationships are getting watered down with this technology.
Oh, absolutely. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think that why are Christian adults going to watch these movies, and should they be concerned?
Well, I think the problem really lies. I mean, I was a good Christian kid. I grew up well versed in the Bible. I mean, I knew what was good and what was evil, and I knew what was right and what was wrong. And I think it's a slippery slope. I think that the movie industry is so enticing in what they're doing, but if you look at it in sort of a basic just overview, how many movies break those Ten Commandments? How many movies are constantly either highlighting stealing, killing, you know, lying, you name it? Like that's what's under attack is these very foundation of how God has set up us to have these relationships. And so it's very interesting to me that, you know, you have these Christian people that are going and supporting and watching a lot of these things that speak against the very thing that God is trying to build up. And what that tells me is that one of two things. Either you're not reading your Bible as well as you probably should be, or the relationship with God is it hasn't taken a real fiery change in your life. And when you feel that change and you feel that on fire, like when I came back into the church,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a big movie buff. I saw every movie there is to see out there. I wanted to make them, so I obviously analyzed them. And, you know, I was into all the actors and into everything, and I was friends with them. And, you know, you name it. I wanted to be involved in that business, so you study the business that you're in. And when I started having a relationship with God again, and I really started diving into my Bible, and then I would sit down and I would try to watch these movies, they were contradicting the very things that I was learning, and it became distasteful to me. So after a while, I said, well, why would I want to watch something, you know, that you know, is glorifying a person leaving his wife because there's a better girl out there than the person that he chose to marry? You know what I mean? Like
right.
That's very against what God is trying to teach us. And so, you know, I would really inspire to people that, you know, are professing to have a Christian faith.
Okay.
Get to know Christ. Get to know God. Fall in love with him. Fall in love with his principles. Fall in love with his government. Fall in love with everything that God is trying to teach you. And I guarantee you the things of this world will grow strangely dim, and you won't want to go see those kind of things.
Wow.
Out of, you know, natural. I mean, I think God giving us the example of a marriage is a perfect example. Why do you do the things that you do in a marriage for your husband or for your wife? You do them because you love them, and you want to see them happy, and it's love that drives you to do the things that you do. And I think the same thing with God. When you fall in love with God and you fall in love with Christ, it drives you to do the things that would please him. And the things that would please him is obviously not, you know, being involved with things that he absolutely hates. I mean, you look at Deuteronomy 12, verse 14, and it talks specifically about, you know, do not be involved in sorcery, witchcraft, divination. All of those things are an abomination to God. He hates them. It's not even that he's like, oh, it's okay, guys, you know, you guys can, you know, go ahead and watch some stories about some sorcery. No, he hates them because it speaks against the very foundation of what he's trying to build up, and it's using magical and, you know, all these other things that God totally abhors. You read all the Deuteronomy, all of the beginning of the Bible. He constantly is telling them not to be involved in that kind of stuff. So how is it that God would tell those people way back then, thousands of years ago, that he hates it and abhors it, but yet we today in this day and age think that it's okay?
Well,
absolutely.
You know what, Scott, really quickly, and I know we're running out of time, but I want to say something, and I also say from my own perspective, but then I want you to say yes or no, or what your thoughts are on this. When I go preach, I tell women and men and the young kids, I'm like, first and foremost, when you buy one of those movies, when you go see a movie like that, when you purchase to hear it, whatever the five senses that you purchase it, you by default are contributing to Satan's kingdom. And although you might not think you are a witch, you are contributing non-performing witch. And
you're a participant.
You're a participant, and they get so appalled because I'm like, you know, I'm telling them, hey, you know what? You are contributing. If a person is an alcoholic and they're trying to stop drinking and they need you to buy them the liquor, if you buy that liquor, you are actually helping him to his demise or her demise. So you're contributing by participating. So we have to ask ourselves, is this money that I'm going to spend on this movie going to glorify God and build his kingdom, or is it going to glorify Satan and build his kingdom? Do you
Amen.
Agree or not? And can you come, before we do that?
Well, I'm about to tell you to hold that thought. I am dying to hear what Scott has to say, but we're going to tell our listening audience that now is a great time to call in for a free book, and we will be right back after this short break.
I bet you've heard that sound before. If you have a vehicle, you have heard that sound. I know I have. It can be both alarming and a pretty penny to fix. In today's economy, you need a name that you can trust to save you money on your car care. Tire Zone. That's the name, Tire Zone. This is a one-stop, complete car care center offering services that include alignment, 30, 60, 90,000 mile service maintenance, transmission services, tune-ups, brakes, AC and services, tire, and so much more. Friendly and reliable customer service and great savings. You can't beat that. I should know. I have taken my car there. Don't wait. Save money today and call Tire Zone, 909-403-0208. That's 909-403-0208. Or stop by at 1701 East Washington Street, Suite 300, Colton, California. Once again, 1701 East Washington Street, Suite 300, Colton, California.
Well, we're back with that last question we asked. You take it from there, Scott, because I already asked it. You know it. So do you believe that's the truth or not?
I totally believe that's the truth. In fact, I heard it stated that was very well. Somebody came up and said, you know, all of these movies, if you really think about it, are like a ministry also. You have preachers and pastors that are going around trying to teach you about God, teach you what is he like, how do you get to know him, how do you, you know, like, what are his characteristics, right?
Okay.
Now you have movies that are going around and teaching you about the character of the world, the character of the devil, the character of the various things. They are, in a sense, ministers also, teaching their characteristics, their thoughts, their things, and influencing you in their way of life. Almost exactly what a preacher or a pastor is trying to do to you on the other side of the fence. So I honestly 100% agree with you that, you know, this is definitely contributing to their line of work. So, you know, if I can leave you with one last little piece of advice, and those of you that are listening out there, and you know, do everything that you do to the glory of God. Put things in your mind, put things in front of your eyes that uplift you with good characteristics, teach you how to be a better person, teach you how to love better, teach you how to do all kinds of things that the Bible's teaching you how to do. It's hard to speak against that type of thing. But when they're teaching, you know, things that are definitely, you know, against the Ten Commandments, against God, I would not support that. And, you know, put your money into God's work. Put your money into furthering the gospel message, or even, you know, anything that you can do to support your local church or your ministers or anybody that is out there on the front lines trying to bring as many souls into the kingdom of heaven as possible.
Absolutely. Those are some good words of advice. But I wanted to ask you, Scott, where did you learn about magic, sorcery, and spiritualism?
I had some friends that were heavily involved in magic and spiritualism in Los Angeles. I, of course, knew too much to get involved into it. I think my Christian upbringing shielded me from the desire of, you know, I knew who the devil was, and I just, there was always that, you know, I know what that's all about, even though I had no application of God in my life. And then it really wasn't until I started analyzing a lot of these movies, the popular films, and then really looking into the belief systems of the people that actually make them, the belief systems of the actors that actually act in them. Once I started really uncovering what they believe in, then I started, well, you know, the terminology and the language and all sorts of various, like, things that go along with the occult started popping out. So I just did a lot of research. And once I understood what it basically was all about, what kind of some of the teachings were, you know, some of the incantation things, then I basically was able to kind of spot it in just, you know, various different forms in the movies.
Okay. So, are we participating in the, let me see how I can phrase this. How serious is this battle in for our minds?
Well, you know, the only thing that you're taking to heaven with you is your character. That's the only thing. You're not going
Preach.
With
that's what I say. Mm-hmm.
No, that's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, you're not going with anything else. That's the only thing. And what is your character made up of? It's made up of two things. It's made up of thoughts, and it's made up of feelings. You can look that up in just an Oxford dictionary or any sort of dictionary. What is a character? You know, like blah, blah, blah. And it'll tell you right there, thoughts and feelings, basically. And if you think about it, what do movies mess with? Your thoughts and your feelings. So it's definitely a war to influence your thoughts and feelings, because that's the only thing that is what God is working with to get you saved. So, you know, this is extremely important. And I mean, we're talking about an eternity here. It's amazing to me that I was willing to trade an eternity for the fame and fortune here now. Like, I think about it now, and you know, of course I was on drugs, I was partying like a rock star. I mean, I definitely lived the Hollywood dream, if you would. I didn't make it famous, but I definitely hung out with a lot of those guys. And I almost would have traded it. And I think about it now, and so I go, we have not even the slightest glimpse of what living with an eternity with Jesus in our midst could even be like. You're talking about happiness that we can't even fathom here on this earth. And
absolutely,
the celebrities that I did get to know and the movie people that I was around, are they truly happy? I mean, really?
Some of them aren't, some of them aren't.
Most of them that I've worked with, you know, for the most part, they, you know, I mean, I can't say too much about what I've spoken to them about, but they come from brokenness. I mean, brokenness. And I was like, and like, Hollywood is their life. That's their God. And that's a bad place to be at.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is there's no 100% stability. I mean, look at some of the celebrities that are constantly in the news now, Charlie Sheen type, you know. I mean, they get to a certain level, they're so incredibly famous, and then all of a sudden everybody thinks they're crazy. You don't know if that will sustain. And here, if you just look at the two options, you know, if you get to that level, yeah, it may be fun. It may be exciting for a little while. But if you could place it up next to an eternity in heaven of sheer happiness, never having a tear ever again, you would look at the celebrity lifestyle and you'd be like, that's disgusting. I would never choose that. I want to choose the forever happy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just remembering. I was watching Regis and I think it was Regis and Kelly the other day, and they had an actor on. Don't ask me who. I have no clue. Can't remember. But anyway, he was saying that when when he signed up for acting, you know, that's all he wanted, you know, the fame and the fortune and the recognition. And then once he got it, he said it was overwhelming. Like, he didn't feel like that's what he had signed up for. And he just wanted to be kind of incognito again and just be able to live a normal life, you know, do his work as an actor, which he loved, but not have to deal with the paparazzi and all the other stuff
right.
that is part of that package.
Right. You can't turn it off. That's the thing.
No, you can't.
Doogie Howser will always be Doogie Howser. I mean, it's like there's
yeah.
no, like, I don't want to be that anymore. If you get to that level, you're always going to be bombarded with that. I mean, somebody at the A-list level will never, ever be able to just completely walk away from that. And you know, I honestly believe, look at the lives of the people that have achieved ultimate fame. Michael Jackson, Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, you name it, all those guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're lonely.
Because
unfortunately they have to live like in a fortress, you know, to have some semblance of privacy. And I don't know. I've thought about that. You know, I think we all kind of play around with that fantasy of being rich and famous. And I don't think that it's worth, you know, the heartache. I'm sure the money is good and everything, but I don't know. What's on the other side? That's side A, right? So what's on side B, which is God and everlasting life? That just sounds like, it just sounds really good to me. It sounds much, much better.
Right. You know, and you know, often I talk with a lot of people that just don't believe in God. And in fact, a lot of the people that I worked with in Hollywood, I remember I sat one of the shows I was working on, I sat down the line producer at lunch one day, and I had, you know, already compiled all this information about, you know, Hollywood and the way your brain works and everything. And I mean, I gave him the whole hour and a half Battlefield Hollywood spiel, told him all. I mean, I started at Fall of Satan, and I went all the way to the end of this whole thing, how God's going to come and raise everybody from the dead and, you know, all that kind of stuff. His eyes were as big as saucers. I mean, he didn't say a word the whole time I was sitting there telling him this. And at the end of the day, he just said, I'd still take the money. And I realized, you know, it's also a drug. You know, the fame, the fortune, the money, it's hard to imagine something that none of us have ever seen. None of us have ever been there. And what we know of is this tangible life that we have here. And a lot of people are completely, you know, in the dark as to this spiritual warfare that's going on around us. And, you know, I just think that, you know, it's so sad, because when your life is over after these 70 years, okay, 75 years, maybe you get to 100 if you're lucky.
Right.
That's it. You're done. And it's like,
what do you have to show for it?
What do you have to show for it? If you truly lived your life like the Bible's telling you, like Christ is telling you, are you living a horrible life? The Bible doesn't tell you to go out and, you know, cheat on people, kill people, steal from people. I mean, those things cause damage to relationships and to people. It tells you how to have a better lifestyle. So let's just say the whole thing is fake. Let's just say it doesn't exist. God doesn't exist. Whatever, right? You get all the way to the end of your 100 years, and you lived your life as a good Christian or Christian principles. What do you have to lose? Your quality of life wasn't that bad, but let's say it is true. Would you be willing, on a chance, to live your life in a train wreck just to get what you can now, to trade that for an eternity? I think that's something that each person has to come to grips with and think about, and just, what if it's true? You lose a lot more if it's true than if it's not true. You know, you get to the end of your life, you didn't live a horrible life. And
right.
Okay. It's a lot for people to listen to. And but, you know, there's a hymn that I was raised with, Are You Ready for Jesus to Come? And there's two masters, basically, two kingdoms, one that will perish and one that will last forever. And we need to stop sacrificing ourselves, our minds. But the one who paid the ransom is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we have our minds hijacked, if our minds aren't hijacked right now, just know that Jesus paid the ransom. He paid it at the cross. And you can turn away from that kind of lifestyle by asking Jesus into your life right now. You don't have to go through a whole elaborate show. But right now, if you're listening, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to renew your mind and to renew your life. Here at the Reborn Identity, we really believe that once you come to the Lord and you really give yourself, that He will send your Holy Spirit to give you a new identity. You can become pure again. I know it's hard to believe, but you can become pure. And Christ says, just come to Him. Come to Him and tell Him, confess your sins. And you can actually seek Him out, and He will be there. But we need a new identity, because as Scott said, and as always I've said, the only thing that we can take to heaven is our character. So ask God into your heart tonight and let us know how we can help you. If you need to know of a church near you, Ruthie or I can help you to find a church that will help you grow, because the time is ticking. You might not be here tomorrow. You might not be here a breath away. Not to scare you, but that's how it is. Let God come into your life, give you a reborn identity, and let your mind be in Christ. So, Scott, do you have any final questions that you might, you know, final answers or not answers, but some sort of advice or thought to our audience who might be tuning in real quickly before we say our good evening?
I just would, you know, I think you said it so well. Just if I can inspire those that are listening, you know, I was a Christian kid that grew up, and I thought I just knew the stories. I knew the Bible, and I thought that was enough for my Christian faith. But to have it in your heart, to be on fire with that passion about God or about life, is there's no greater joy. I've never experienced this. I mean, I made tons of money in L.A. I flew around the world working on all kinds of things. I thought that would make me happy, and I'll tell you, I would trade it all for peanuts where I'm at now. And you know, if you really, truly, honestly are searching, looking, even if you have doubts in your mind, there is a God out there. And if you ask Him to reveal Himself to you, He will do it, and I stand firm on that promise. He will show Himself to you, but all He's doing is waiting for you to ask Him, I want to know who you are. I want to have that relationship with you. And God will never turn His back on you.
God is so true. Ooh, that was powerful, Scott.
Well, thank you guys for inviting me to be on your show. And, you know, I praise God for what you guys are doing. And you know, I just see God pulling at so many people's hearts right now. And He's pulling people out of the woodworks. And it's so amazing. I get an opportunity to speak at a lot of churches and schools and travel around, and let me tell you, be encouraged. There is a massive movement that is happening right now. You see it on both sides of the fence. They're trying to pull people out of the church, but God.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I don't know. He's cut. Yeah, you got
you
cut off.
Cut off. You got
oh,
cut
sorry.
Off.
Sorry. I think.
So you're gonna have to do a do-over and say what you just said.
I think somebody was trying to call in on my phone. Basically, what I was saying was just, you know, be encouraged. Like I see God's hand in so many things right now, all over the place. He is calling, literally the last call. Come, my people. Come, my people. I'm almost here. I'm almost ready to come. And he's just, he's wanting and desiring that not one of us would be lost. And you know, I just see this time as you know, it's sort of the quiet before the storm. It sort of seems
mm-hmm.
like, you know, we hear about the rest of the world is just in turmoil and crashing and burning, but we're so safe and so comfortable where we are here in America. But, you know, this is the time. This is the time to make that decision today, to not put it off tomorrow, because just like those other countries that are around the world that have had disastrous things happen to them, that can easily happen to us today, and you won't get that opportunity to make that choice.
Amen.
So my last closing thought is just give God a chance. If you've if you've never given him a chance in your life, just if you don't even know how to pray, just say a prayer to God. Lord, you know, just show yourself to me, and wow, I stand firm. You will someday be calling in on this radio show and being like, Kitty, I can't wait to tell you what God's done in my life. I stand firm on that.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're
oh,
welcome.
Scotty, may God continue to bless you and your family.
Yes.
Wife, as she, you know, she knows, and you know that she's always always traveling. So, thank you that you know you and your wife. She's supporting you and takes a good woman. And also, we'll be praying for your ministry and that the people that are out there can find out more about your ministry. Now, website really quickly if they need to know more about you is
littlelightstudios.com. Yeah, littlelightstudios.tv.
Okay.
And what we're actually working on right now is a lot of our videos that we produce, we're working on really putting them on a website that people can just watch for free. And so it'll have Bible studies on it. It'll have all kinds of information.
Ooh.
Basically, you know, documentaries. We're really kind of reaching out to a lot of different people right now that, you know, make also really interesting and creative either documentaries or productions and things. And we just want, you know, we want to inspire people to have a relationship with God. And, you know, the internet is something that reaches around the world. And so we're really aiming at getting this information on one place that people can just go to that place and, you know, get as much information as possible from that one website.
Now, is there a phone number?
It's .com and not...
No, .tv. I think it's .tv. Is that correct?
Oh, .tv.
Yeah, .tv. The reason we're really aiming at the .tv is, you know, as technology advances here, you're going to start to see the television and the internet merge. In fact, a lot of televisions are already equipped to get the internet. And so what will be awesome is when that day happens, you know, a lot of the people that you know, they can go to your website and watch your productions or watch your videos straight on their television. And so that's kind of why we're really building up this website.
Wow.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I'm taking a radio and television class, and we were just talking about that this week, how a lot of televisions are set up so that you can you know, you can download Netflix and watch it on your TV,
exactly.
You know, and so forth. And so technology is moving at a rapid pace. Ooh, but I'm just so blessed to have heard your testimony, Scott. Thank you so much, not only for coming on tonight, but for your honesty and for your humility. And for allowing God to use your life for his honor and glory. And so I just wanted to thank you so much for that. And we'll definitely be praying about your ministry.
Awesome. Yes, well, it was a lot of fun, and thank you, ladies, for giving us the opportunity to even share. So thank you.
Good night. Thank you so much. Well, Ruthie, I'm excited. That was an awesome testimony, and I just, we're really so blessed to have had Scott Mayer tell us about his journey. And you know what, Ruthie, that was just awesome. I'm walking on air here. I'm walking on a cloud. Because when I hear testimony, it just gives me more inspiration to continue in the battlefield and the harvest at the same
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
So because I'm in the harvest, it's becoming a battlefield. And you know what? God is working in many ways, and I just feel so so blessed. But anyway. Just a quick note, just want to let you guys know, our listeners, next Sunday, the 24th of April, we will not have a show. That will be for the family to enjoy their time in church and Easter. But we will resume again on May 1st. And we'll post all the information of who's going to be coming for the month of May. There are going to be several surprises, and we're excited about them.
Absolutely.
So, you know, God has been really wonderful with us, that he has kept us having guests coming on. And when we least expect it, there's a guest. And, you know, God is really good because we already
have... An amazing guest, too.
Exactly. We have guests until, like, August. However, some people's schedules have changed. Some drama has hit, you know, me, and we had to reschedule others. And so we are looking to see who God is going to bring about. As always, I just want to say thank you, Ruthie. Any closing remarks?
You know, I just want to say that this has been such an amazing day. Have you ever had a day in your life where you had some questions that were sitting on your heart and you went to church and they were answered not only one time but two times? Like I went to Sunday school this morning, and there was a older gentleman giving his testimony, and it was almost like listening to... part of his testimony was almost like listening to things that happened in my life and questions that I had in my heart being confirmed. And it was just, I don't know how to explain it to you, but it was just such an amazing experience. And that was like how my day started. And to have what he said in the morning, not all of it, but part of what this gentleman testified to in the morning, be confirmed again in the things that you and Scott have been saying this evening, is just like bringing it around full circle for me. And you know, just what an amazing experience to know that we have a God that not only is faithful, but he keeps his promises. And he has promised to love us unconditionally, even when we're bad. You know, he still loves us, you know, and we ask for forgiveness, and we're forgiven, and it's forgotten. Not the way that we do it here on earth. It is truly forgotten. And just, you know, to have that type of Heavenly Father there, you know, when the life around you is chaotic, when you're dealing with demonic forces or what have you, to know that you have that one constant in your life that will not only love you unconditionally and protect you, all you have to do is say, I want you in my life. I accept you in my life. I recognize who you are. To have that one constant in your life, and it's not only for your life here on earth, but it's also for your eternal life, that, man, we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, when you look at the movies and you see the yachts and you see this and, you know, the Rive Gauche life and the jet set life, that doesn't even begin to compare to the life that awaits us in heaven. And
the best is yet to come, like they say.
The best is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the best is yet to come.
We will be back May 1st. We would love to hear from you guys on how we can help you in your walk with Christ, or, you know, any prayer requests that you have. And just, we encourage you this week that we celebrate Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem and the final week of his life, just to reflect and pick up your Bible and read through it and just allow God to come into your mind, you know, and into your heart, and reflect on the story. And we want to hear from you guys what you've garnered from that. So have a blessed couple of weeks, I guess it is. And we will see you on May 1st. Thank you so much, Vivian. You are just so amazing. And thank you for all the hard work that you do.
Likewise. That is good.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy Easter. We'll see you. Remember, I always say in each segment, good night, everyone. Good night, all. May you be blessed this week. Keep yourselves educated in the Word. That means pick up the Bible, dust the dust off, and read it. Open it up and read it. Also, keep yourself educated. Things that are happening around us, we don't know, but we need to keep ourselves educated. Do good unto others, and keep your eyes focused on Christ. Until next time, God bless you all. And please enjoy his resurrection day, which is Easter. And let us know how we can help you, as Ruthie said. Good night.
Good night.
The Reborn Identity Blog Talk Radio was brought to you by the following sponsors. Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company. Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business. Pillow Enterprises, a professional services company serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services. And Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice.